From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
Nowhere but America can you find such mountains, such forest and trees. And the wonder of it all is it's all connected in a web of life. For the good of the earth and for the good in ourselves, plant trees. For your free Conservation Trees booklet, write the National Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska. We help people plant and care for trees.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, when most people think about farming, they probably don't think about farming oysters. But yes, oysters are being farmed these days, and the Chesapeake Bay is a great example. We get this special report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Don Webster is a regional specialist with University of Maryland Extension.
I've been working with aquaculture since back in the 1980s. I've actually been with the University of Maryland since 1974.
And over the decades, he has seen some changes.
The natural resource, the oysters that spawn naturally, are at a very low ebb here in the Chesapeake. We had two diseases that moved in from 60s to 80s.
Those diseases really cut into the oyster harvest.
When I began, we were 2.5 to 3 million bushels a year in Maryland. This past year, it was about 200,000, so it's gone down that far.
I'm Stephanie Ho, and in this week's Agriculture USA, we'll look at the future of oysters in the Chesapeake Bay. Meanwhile, if you love to eat oysters, this is probably not a huge secret, but some interesting information for those of us who are not connoisseurs. We'll also look into how oysters take on unique flavors based on where they're raised. In 2018, the Natural Resources Conservation Service released the Chesapeake Bay Watershed Action Plan. One of the priorities was improving water quality and habitat for native animals like oysters. The Chesapeake Bay Watershed encompasses 64,000 square miles and includes area in six states: Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New York. As the largest estuary on the continent, this is the perfect breeding ground for oysters.
They're not oceanic animals. They're estuarine animals. They like to be in estuaries like the bay that has a range of salinities.
Again, that was University of Maryland Extension's Don Webster. He says oyster aquaculture not only needs to be helped, oysters themselves provide benefits to the health of the Chesapeake.
They are very useful in the environment. They biofilter. They take in water from the bay, which has phytoplankton in it.
Oysters are recognized as being powerful ecosystem engineers and the transformative effects over their local environment. And those benefits are great. And even when you're growing oysters as a crop, those benefits are still apparent.
That was University of Maryland Assistant Professor for Environmental Science, Matt Gray. Besides filtering the water, he says oysters also are important for creating reefs.
So if you make an oyster reef, you're providing habitat for a lot of other commercially and ecologically valuable fish species, for example. So you build an oyster reef, you can get a lot better fishing in and around that. You can notice actually that where crabs, they set up their trot lines right on top of oyster reefs often because that's where a lot of crabs are hanging out.
He adds that oysters also provide many other ecosystem services,
like denitrification and shoreline stabilization. The reefs can help dampen waves, for example. So they bring a suite of environmental benefits to where you grow them.
Meanwhile, prior to the pandemic, he noted that oyster aquaculture along the Atlantic coast was expanding.
These aren't large farms. Actually, most of these operations are very small, but there's a value to that because each one of these little farms are located in discrete little pockets of water often, and as a result, these oysters will have a kind of a unique flavor.
In other words,
you know, kind of like wine and terroir, there's also oysters and marwars. So they can take up the little bit of unique flavor that they're grown in.
The different flavor profiles of an oyster hit home with him when he was doing his postdoc in Maine.
Most of the oysters are grown on this one river, the Damariscotta, and you can get oysters from almost every mile down that river. They call it like taste the river. Work your way down the river and taste, you know, different segments of the river.
Andy says he was very impressed with the variety.
Different saltiness, different little flavor profiles. Yeah, it's really interesting because you would think like, oh, I'm getting this oyster from this one river, but what part of that river? Is it closer to the mouth where it's super salty, or is it upriver where it's a little fresher? There's real differences.
Now he notes an oyster's flavor has become a bit of a thing among people who like to eat eat the shellfish.
So that's highly marketable. And that's why, you know, people have learned this and consumers are, I think the American palate is becoming a bit more refined to oysters.
So becoming an oyster connoisseur is perhaps not such a far-fetched possibility.
When people order oysters at a bar, they don't just want an oyster. They want to know where it comes from, the water body. They want to try different ones.
Yes, eating oysters at a bar or restaurant may be a distant memory right now, but that doesn't mean it will always be this way. Don Webster adds that he has been surprised to see how many younger people have taken to oysters, which means there will be a future for the shellfish after the pandemic.
To be honest, I always thought it would be the older folks like me that were eating half-shell oysters again, but it's a big 20 and 30-something industry. They really like them. Sort of like microbreweries.
This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
On the Farm Radio, we'll be back after this message.
As a farmer, you have a lot to think about. There are bills to pay, repairs, an impossible schedule. It's no wonder that sometimes you can forget to do the small, simple things, like being extra careful when approaching a railroad crossing. Trailers, tractors, and other farm equipment are noisy and slow-moving, while an approaching train may be closer and moving faster than you think. Don't take a chance. Whenever you approach a railroad crossing, slow down, be prepared to stop, and remember, look, listen, and live. A safety message from Operation Lifesaver.
Thinking about having a farm auction in the near future? Well, there's a lot to think about, as we hear in this report from Rod Bain.
Retiring farmers using auctions as part of their succession and transition plan have several things to do in preparation. Auctioneer Mark Stock says setting the time and date of the auction to give enough prep time is important. So checklist items like proper documentation and maintenance of machinery and equipment.
You need to do a cab kit or something like that, or put new batteries in. You want to have the maintenance records available. Titles to your vehicles, make sure those are all ready to be transferred. Make sure you have good liability insurance.
And with more online companies performing online auctions and utilizing technologies,
video footage is so important of that planter going through the field. We want to get the video footage of the sprayer operating in the field and the harvesting equipment doing all those things, because those action shots give the buyer more information about being comfortable with that particular piece of machinery.
Stock adds that producers need to prepare to answer questions, especially if their event is online with viewers from across the country. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Well, today we sent out a big old salute to all of our listeners in State College, Pennsylvania. They're tuned in to affiliated radio station WBLF AM 970 in State College, Pennsylvania. Our pearl of wisdom today tells us that the nicest thing about the future is that it always starts tomorrow. That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm and I'm Itch.